So I am standing in the main train station in Rome next to my girlfriend Susan, looking down at Let's Go Europe, southern Italy, trying to figure out where to go for the next leg of our vacation. When I look up and I see these two French goddesses standing about 10 feet away in little flower print dresses that billow each time a train pulls in or out of the station. And I look back down at Let's Go Europe and then back up at the goddesses and pretty much keep looking at the goddesses until the guy in the public address system starts saying, Departazione, as in Milano Departazione and Venezia Departazione and Napoli Departazione. And all the lights are blinking on the train status board, Departazione. And Susan starts screaming at me, will you make up your mind before all the trains pull out? But I want to go where the goddesses are going, so I don't know what to say. When Susan says, do you see those two women? And I look down at Let's Go Europe so I can look back up convincingly. And I say, where? And she says, right there in the flower print dresses. And I see them, and she says, don't they look interesting? Susan's half German, and she likes European women. And I say, what do you mean, interesting? And she says, like they've been someplace interesting that we might want to go. You know, I think I'll ask them. And she walks over and starts talking. And two or three minutes later, she walks back and introduces them to me. James, this is Isabel, who looks like a French movie star. And her sister, France, who has a face off a painting in the Louvre, are one of those French go-to-war posters. She makes you want to invade. France and Isabel are going to Capri, says Susan. Why don't we join them? And I look at Susan to see whether she's serious, because what woman would ask goddesses to join you on a vacation for a week? But then I realize, Susan, she's just being her fearless Germanic self, which used to threaten me. And I say, if that's what you want, honey. And a few minutes later, we're on a train, headed down to Naples, and then on the same hydrofoil over the island of Capri, and then checking into the same hotel where we change into our beach things. And then we're sitting next to each other on the beach. The girls in French bikinis and me in a swimsuit and my Oxford shirt from the train ride to hide my spare tire, which just landed on me at my desk job recently. And I had completely forgotten that I had it because I haven't accommodated it in my personality yet. And I've been meaning to get rid of it, and in the meantime doing things with Susan to maintain alpha status, like pay for our trip to Italy. But with France, I am who I am, and there's no way she's going to see who I am. So I'm lying there in my Oxford shirt like I've forgotten to undress half of myself, while the girls go back and forth into the water. Yeah. And a couple hours later, France says, very matter-of-factly, why are you wearing a shirt? Susan and Isabel are down at the other end of the beach chairs, so I can be whoever I want to be. And I say, because I burn easily. And France says, here, try some of my lotion. And I say, is there sunblock in it? And she says, of course, it's French. And I turn it over and start to read the ingredients, and I point to one of the words, and I say, I'm allergic to that. And this goes on for a week. I freckle. I'm cold. I really don't like the water. That's why I have a cat in New York instead of a dog. It's exhausting. But the nights are very different. When I don't have to think about covering up my body, I'm free to think about hers. And one night Susan is ill and she stays at the hotel and I go out to dinner with the sisters and I show up at their room to pick them up. They're not quite ready. So I sit on their bed and watch them put their makeup on. Susan is German. She has two or three tubes of lipstick and one tube of mascara. And I've always loved that about her. She's no nonsense and very clear, and she is what she is. The desk in this hotel room looks like a makeup counter at a department store. There are 50 or 60 bottles and colors and substances and wands, and they apply them like wizards. It's spellbinding. And then we go to the restaurant, a little seaside trattoria, and we sit down, and France looks at me, and she says, why don't we trade seats? The view from here is much better. They're going to be staying there for another week, and they'll have more time to come back to this restaurant. And I say, the view from here is fine, Florence. And I can see that I'm not going to be able to not sleep with her that much longer. But I make it to the last night, and we're walking on the beach for old time's sake. Everybody's a little misty, except me. I can't wait for this vacation to end. When Florence says, why don't we go swimming? And Isabel, who's the more reserved sister, says, we don't have suits. And fearless Germanic Susan says, that's okay. And a few minutes later, they're standing in panties and bras in the moonlight. Frances are chocolate brown lace. Her skin is the color of milk. She looks like a profiterole. Which is my favorite dessert. And it's agony to keep my eyes open, but I can't close them. And I watch as they run into the water and disappear. And it's quiet for a few moments, and then they pop back up like three little buoys in the moonlight, and they start laughing and splashing and finally calling my name, as they've been calling all week, like three sirens, who we've actually discussed lived in this neighborhood a couple thousand years ago. Come in, James. It's wonderful. You'll love it. And it looks like fun, and it's dark, and I paid about $9,000 to be there, and I haven't been swimming one time. So I take a beach chair and I drag it down to the edge of the water and take my pants off and shoes and socks. And when Franz dives underneath again, rip off my shirt and run into the water. I've waited so long that it's not too long before Susan comes up to me and says, I'm cold. She has bad circulation, which always used to bug me. And I say, I understand, honey. And she says, I don't want to cramp your style. And maybe you want to stay here, and Isabel overhears us and says, I'll go back to the hotel with you, Susan. And so they do, leaving Franz and I alone, in the dark, in the water, in our underwear. Or we can have sex without her seeing my body. So we swim around for a little bit, trying to figure out what's the personal space in the Mediterranean. How close can you come to each other before you can't swim away? And whatever that diameter is, Franz swims inside of it. And she says, the water makes me feel so free. Now, I have never felt less free in my life. I got a woman in my hotel room who wants to get married to me. And I want to get married to her. But then I don't. So I don't say anything. And Franz says, maybe we should go back. And maybe we should, but maybe we shouldn't. So I just stare at her until she gets out of the water and walks up and starts to dab at herself with her dress in the moonlight. So I've got one eye on her and the other on my shirt. As I swim back and the water gets shallower and shallower and my legs start to spread apart until my thighs are burning, and only my head is visible like an alligator. Waiting for the perfect moment. And then she starts to thread her arms through her dress, and I spring up onto the beach, and I'm in my shirt, wet but covered, when her head pops through the dress. And she lets out a volley. Ah! And now we're walking back to the hotel, across the cobblestones, to the steps that are cut into the side of the mountain. Franz takes my hand, which I've read in Let's Go Europe, a little cultural translation, this means that sidebar, is a friendly gesture among European women. They're much more physical, evidently. So I start to feel friendly and warm, and I let down my perimeter alarm. There's a certain space that I keep between my body and Franz's at all times. And she's now inside of it, so that when we get to the base of the stairs and the cobblestones are kind of uneven, our hips bump, and suddenly her arm is around my torso, and there's no way to get it off. So I bend over like I've got osteoporosis. And her hand slides up my rib cage, but with each step up the stairs, it slides back down until it hits. And she starts laughing, her bubbly French laugh. And she says, Bois de sauvetage. And I don't speak French, so I don't know what that means. I just know that it can't be good. And they keep walking. And she says, "What sauvetage? You have a life preserver. It's so cute." And she keeps her hand right there, like a girlfriend, all the way up the steps and across the cobblestone and into the hotel and down the hall in front of our room doors. And this is the last moment we're going to be alone, unless one of us does something. And she's French, and she's female, so it's going to be me. She is the most beautiful woman I have ever been swimming with. And I have never wanted anything more than to kiss her at that moment. But my room door is right behind her. And I know that I can't walk in that room having done it. As lost as I am in France's beauty, I still can't forget myself. So I kiss her three times on the cheek, like the French do. And I brush her lips with each pass in case I change my mind. And then walk in. And Susan's lying in bed reading Let's Go Europe, preparing for our departure in the morning. And she looks up at me and says, "How was it?" And I say, "Hard. It was really hard." And she says, "I know." Like she does know. Like she understands why I've been in a shirt for a week. And she accepts it. So I take my shirt off and lie down in bed next to her. And suddenly, I start to cry. Which is not the kind of guy I am. I'm a poker-faced, poker-bodied, magical thinker. I want everything without giving up anything. And I've just given up a goddess, a real goddess, and the dream of having goddesses for Susan. But it's an overwhelming, tearful relief to lie there and finally be me.